We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
Thank you very much, Phil and the worship team. It's been a blessing worshiping today on this Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Whoa. This is an amazing day. History was changed on a day like this 2,000 years ago. And so we declare and sing that victory belongs to the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Shall we pray? We thank you for this morning. We thank you for what was achieved for us on the cross that no man could. Like we were singing. The summary of it, Lord, is victory. The victory that came from the cross. The victory that came from Jesus being raised from the dead. Hallelujah. We were never the same. And so this is a celebration, like Phil said. We celebrate the life that came from Jesus Christ because of his death and resurrection. For there is hope in us, Lord, that we too shall rise again when Jesus appears. So we give glory and praise and honor to your precious name. And God's people said, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Glory. Wow. Thank you. Thank you for that wonderful song. You know, it's true that we have Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know, it's true that all victory belongs to Jesus. So if you're looking for victory, you hang around Jesus, you've got victory on your side. Hallelujah. This morning, we make our way to the tomb. And that's where our reflections will come from. As we talk about, I know before Easter we had wonderful preaching from the preaching team here in SCC. I was blessed as they were teaching us on the journey on what happened at the cross. Amen. So today we're looking at what happened at the tomb. What happened at the tomb? So we are looking at part one, which is from mourning to joy. Or from mourning to joy. And I'm reading from the Gospel of John chapter 20 from verse 11. Those of you joining us online, we're reading from the Gospel of John chapter 20 and I'm reading from verse 11 through to 18. If you could follow through with us as we read. Media team, we ready? Okay. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying as she wept. She bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking it was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him and I'll get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. And Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. And then Psalm 30, verse 5, please. Psalm 30, 30, verse 5. "For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning." That's King James. "Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning." Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it interesting that Jesus rose early in the morning on a Sunday? Because joy comes in the morning. Here is a story of Mary. Other gospel writers say Mary and several other women. Early in the morning, because Saturday was a Sabbath, they couldn't do any work. Remember, Jesus' death was, and many people were not expecting it to happen that quick. So he found himself in this tomb, which belonged to Joseph. And these ladies wake up early in the morning to go and prepare the body with spices and all. But John, the Gospel of John, focuses on one woman, and her name is Mary. So I'm going to focus on this one woman, but I just wanted you to know that the background is that it looks like she wasn't alone, okay? There were other women that went with her. But anyway, Mary goes to the tomb, and she finds that the stone has been rolled away, okay? And then not only that the stone has been rolled away, but she also finds out that the body of Jesus is no longer there. So she immediately rushes off to the disciples. And when she gets to the disciples, she says to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Now, the testimony of women was generally seen as not valid in those days because men just did not believe women. And Luke tells us, Luke 24, verse 11, Luke records that they said to the women, their words seemed like nonsense. Okay? However, nonetheless, Peter and John still raced to the tomb. And when they got to the tomb, they realized that actually she was correct, the Lady Mary, that the body is no longer in the tomb. So they kind of grudgingly accept that the body is not there, but they don't say anything about it. They make their way back to join the rest of the disciples. So this is the story we're looking at today. Resurrection doesn't make sense to them at that point, and it doesn't make sense to a lot of people even today. Resurrection still does not make sense in the 21st century, and we have a challenge today. We have a challenge this morning. This is why we're here in church, to talk about that challenge, that resurrection actually is believable. Something happened. So Mary Magdalene, some of you may know, comes from a city in Galilee, rather close to the Sea of Galilee. We know a place called Migdal. That's where we get the name Mary of Magdalene. Okay, she's Mary from Magdalene. She loved Jesus as her teacher and as a master. She, remember, this Mary is the Mary from whom seven demons were cast out by Jesus Christ. So she has this connection with Jesus. You know what it means to live with seven demons harassing you day in, day out. And then all of a sudden she has this freedom that has come through the power of Jesus Christ upon her life. And so when Jesus dies, she's so taken aback by what has just happened. Maybe she's thinking, will those seven demons come back? We don't know. So Mary, she comes to pay her last respects and carry out the burial rituals to this man she doesn't know how much to thank him for. So she comes early in the morning. A woman walking with other women early in the morning. How many of you visit funerals taking a walk at 5 a.m. to the nearest cemetery? Any ladies here? Just taking a stroll? Not past the cemetery, but going inside the cemetery. Well, here are the ladies taking not a stroll, but walking with a purpose towards the tomb, yet knowing that it's shut. So I want to do some reflections from this story here that I've just read. Number one, reflections from the gravesite. What does she find when she gets there? Well, broken people have a place in God's plan. Broken people have a place in God's plan. Verse 11 of John chapter 20. Notice how the writer wants us to see and understand that this lady was broken. It says, now Mary stood outside the tomb. What was she doing outside the tomb? She was crying. And so while she stood outside the tomb, she looks into the tomb, still crying, weeping, grieving. She's a broken lady, distraught lady. She's emotional. So John is trying to bring out the emotion of this lady, that there she is standing outside the tomb, but she's weeping. She's broken because someone she loves has died. She's in pain. She's in grief. She's struggling with the death of Jesus Christ. It hit her hard. She wasn't expecting it. And therefore, she goes to the empty tomb. By this time, she doesn't know it well. She knows it's empty because, remember, this time, this is her second time coming to the tomb in one morning. She came first with the ladies, and then she comes back following the disciples. And the disciples make a quick check and disappear, but she hangs around. She's still crying. Second time round, she's still crying. She knows the body's not there, but she's still crying, weeping, emotional. You know, sometimes we say, don't be emotional, don't cry. You'll be fine, not to Mary. Mary is still crying. She's struggling. You know what? Her tears are understandable, especially when you think about what happened 72 hours earlier. She has been crying for the last 72 hours, this lady. Because 72 hours earlier, she saw an innocent man being dragged to the cross and being all sorts of abuse was done to him. And she saw this with her own eyes. 72 hours later, she's still crying. Very emotional. She saw the crucifixion, a process that was meant to kill you slowly. She had many questions. This lady had many questions that morning. She was not sure who to ask. So she comes to the tomb because disciples have no answer. They are hiding, as a matter of fact, in the upper. So where can she go? She says, I'll go to the tomb. I'll go and look for answers in the tomb. But tomb is for dead people. That, how do you get an answer from a dead person? But she's weeping. She goes to this. You know what? It's because she's a broken woman. You know, it's okay to come but broken. You don't need to act too strong when you're coming to Jesus Christ. You don't need to pretend you're strong when you come to Jesus Christ. She brings her tears to the tomb. However, I want you to notice something, because when she peeps into the tomb, she sees two men sitting in there. And they ask her a question. They say to her, woman, why are you crying? How do you ask a question like that in a funeral? How do you ask a question like that? Well, these are two of them. I say to a woman, why are you crying? Now, there are two worlds meeting in that tomb today, this morning, that morning rather. There is the world of Mary, which is a world of a broken woman who's weeping and crying for a loved one, and understandably so. And then there's a world that has invaded another world. And this world is the world of heaven that has invaded the place of death. And these representatives of heaven then ask a question of a person who's weeping and say, why are you crying? Because if ever there is a place for tears, it's not in that tomb that day. That place was not for tears. So heavenly perspective is, how come she's crying at a day when the whole of heaven is rejoicing? And so the question comes, why are you crying? Well, Paul would ask the question, why are you worrying? Because Paul says, do not be anxious for anything, but through what? Prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests known to God. And so Paul would ask you this morning, why are you worrying? And so the angels ask, or rather, those two men, we don't know the angels yet. I've just let some secret out. We don't know who they are yet, okay? Okay, just pretend with me. You guys online, I think the guys here know what I'm saying. You guys online, just bear with me. Why crying? These were angelic representatives. These were heavenly representatives. They already knew that it was Easter morning. Mary didn't know yet. Mary is still thinking it's Friday. But all of heaven knows that it's a Sunday morning. And so they ask, why are you crying? If you have come to Jesus Christ this morning, why are you still crying? You could be like this woman this morning, where you're encountering an empty tomb. Perhaps you have many unanswered questions. Perhaps you have many doubts and you don't know who to go to. Maybe you're feeling emotional this morning because of something that shook you at work, something that shook you in your family. I woke up this morning thinking about the blood of Jesus Christ. I was caught up in two worlds. I was thinking about my family where I grew up and thinking about how traditionally my family were ancestral worshippers. And I grew up thinking about what could break those covenants with darkness. And now I was reminded of the blood of Jesus Christ. And I started declaring the blood of Jesus and thanking Jesus for what happened at Calvary and applying it over my life and over my children and over 1,000 generations from now. Amen. Because there is victory in the blood. There is victory on the cross. Jesus brought me victory. My family can never be the same. My children can never be the same because of the blood of Jesus that cancels out every covenant with darkness and demons and whatever it is out there. The blood of Jesus has canceled it. I woke up with that resolution in my heart. I woke up with that pronouncement, pronouncing victory over my life because of the blood. I don't know what you carry today. I don't know what questions you have. But when you see an empty tomb, I'm telling you, you cannot walk out of there the same. So Mary is not alone. You are here. You are not alone in your concerns, in your questions, in people saying, you're too emotional about it. Don't worry about it. Take it to Jesus Christ. I'd rather have representatives from heaven ask me, why are you crying, than my neighbor ask me, why are you crying? How many of you know that God never asks you a question he does not know an answer for? Amen. Whenever God asks you a question, you've got to think seriously about how you're going to answer that question. So when God appears to Adam and says, where are you, Adam? Of course you know where I am. Because the Bible says God used to come in the cool of the day and walk around with Adam. Because Adam was in a place where God could come physically and walk with him. It was a habitat for heavenly presence. So God could leave his place and come and walk with Adam. So one day God said, Adam, I'm not seeing you where we normally meet. Where are you? So an angel says, Why are you crying? Because of where you are, that place where you are at has a provision for dealing with your weeping. So where you are today, Jesus has made provision for dealing with your situation. Are you with me so far? There is no situation that Jesus cannot deal with. Whatever it is that you face today, there is nothing that Jesus cannot handle. At one point, I think it's Jeremiah, is his hand is not too short to save you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Okay. I didn't want to keep you for long today. So, what am I saying? God has a plan for your life. Amen. God has a plan for broken people. God has a plan for you that is weeping today. For you that has got questions this morning. For you that is doubting things that God has said about you. God has a plan for your life. God has a, tell your neighbor, God has a plan for your life. Just be careful social distancing, okay? Let's keep that in place. Don't want to get into trouble here. Number two. We'll come back later maybe at some point. But let's keep going because I want to release you early. Number two is this. Resurrection has power to turn your mourning into joy. Anything else is faking. Anything else is a fake. Because it takes the power of heaven to make you joyful. You don't need money to be happy. You need resurrection power to be joyful. You don't need a girlfriend to be happy. Say amen, somebody. Oh, when I get him, my life will be sorted. Lord, just show me who. Listen to me. There's a provision in God for that. However, you need resurrection power to get rid of your depression, to get rid of your anxiety, to get rid of your disappointments. You need resurrection power. For that, you need resurrection power. So in verse 14 of John chapter 20, it says, so here she is. She sees these two beings in there. They ask her, why are you crying? She says, they are wasting my time. I don't need to answer them. But then she notices that they are looking at something behind her. And so she turns to see what is it that they are looking at. And right at the entrance of the tomb, the conversation then starts. At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there. Well, it's us who know who it is. She doesn't know who this is because in the next verse she says, she thinks she's talking to a gardener because this tomb was in a garden. Let's go to the next verse, Kuda. Woman, oh my goodness, there's that question again. Woman, you know, if you were to ask my wife about something, because we've lived together for a while, I mean, for a long while, in face of eternity, it's a very small one. For a while. Anyway, we have been married for a reasonably long time. If you were to ask her something, if you were to say to my wife, oh, what do you think about this? Chances are, and then you come and ask me the same thing, chances are it will be in the same direction. In fact, in some cases, it's verbatim. It's a no, 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 or yes, she says. But somehow, because we have lived together and shared a lot of values and shared conversations, and think the same way about certain key things in life, whenever you speak to her, you will get an echo of what I would have said, or the reverse is true. Now, here is three people from a particular place. And there's a conversation happening in that particular place. And so it so happens that even though it looks like they are three different people, the conversation is the same, because the question that Jesus asked is the same question that those two angelic beings asked. Hey, and the question is the same. Why are you crying? That was an echo from a place where they were coming from, an echo from heaven. The conversation in heaven is, how could you cry in a place where the tomb is empty? How is it that you are crying when you are in the presence of God? How is it that you are crying when you are in Zion? Because Zion is the place of rulership for God. So if you are in Zion, how is it that you are still anxious? How is it that you are still asking questions for which God has answered you for? And so Jesus repeats the same question, says, woman, why are you... He goes further. He goes further. He moves from, why are you crying? Says, who is it that you are looking for? He doesn't say what. What is a corpse? Who is a person? Some of us are looking for dead things among the living. God is done with the dead things in your life, and now he's asking the question, who is it that you are looking for? What are you still looking for? It's an empty tomb. Mary, like most of us, still doesn't get it. Do you know why? Because Mary is looking for an explanation to her situation. But heaven is not understood through explanation. Heaven is understood by revelation. Amen. What Mary needed that morning was a revelation, not an explanation. You know, there are times in life when I get tired of explaining Jesus Christ. I just want to see the power of God hit a person. You know, God can heal you of cancer. I don't need to explain how he does it because I'm not a doctor. But I know that when Jesus touches you, that cancer can disappear like that. It's a revelation. And the revelation is very simple. By his stripes, I'm healed. How is it that you are able to cast out demons and all of a sudden you can sleep all night without being terrorized by demons? How does that happen? How do you explain that? I can't explain it, but the revelation is there is power in the blood of Jesus Christ. How do you explain that blood which is red washes my sins as white as snow? How does red become white? I can't explain that to you, but I know there's a revelation that says by that the blood of Jesus Christ is as powerful today as it was then. Even though my sins are as red as crimson, the blood is able to cleanse me as white as snow. Amen. I don't know how he does it, but I have revelation that when Jesus hung on the cross, he was setting me free. He was dealing with my sinful nature. He was dealing with my questions and doubts and anxieties and confusion. He dealt with them on the cross. And so the question is still ringing today. Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for? Mary still doesn't get it. So, I want you to picture this. There were clues, there were hints. Someone say hints. God loves hints. God knows that we like signs. As human beings, we like signs. So whenever an angel approaches a person, the person says, okay, so show me the sign. So give me a sign. Okay, this is going to happen. Yeah, but give me a sign. You understand? Now, don't look at me like that. We all like this, okay? Lord, if I'm getting that job, give me a sign. Anyway, so here is a sign. The stone was moved. That's the first sign. Because no man could roll away that stone, but the stone was moved. Matthew even goes further. He says an angel was even sitting on it. To show you that that matter that you're afraid of, God has dealt with it. And so when she walks in, another sign, she sees two men in the tomb. How did they get in? But she doesn't get it until finally she turns and sees a person she calls a gardener. Now, she's not exactly wrong, because in Genesis, Eden was a garden. When things began, it started in a garden. So when Jesus is raised from the dead, it's a new beginning. That's why it's on the first day of the week, meaning the beginning of a new life, the beginning of a new way of living. Because that life that Jesus had, he was now giving it unto us. And so Jesus says, oh, gardener, maybe you took him somewhere. She's not too wrong. She's not too wrong. And notice, Jesus does not rebuke her. Here we go. Jesus does not rebuke her. But she still doesn't get it. So he then says, Mary. She's like, what? I know this voice. I know this voice. There's someone who calls me. You know, there are people that call your name in a different way. And you know that it's them. You know, I can see if my children are playing among many, many children, and I say, Lesedi, come here. Only one Lesedi will come. Even if there are 60 of them in that group. Only one will come. Because he knows the voice of his dad. And Jesus, it's Jesus who said, my sheep know my voice. So when she says Mary, Mary knows the voice of the shepherd. She says, Rabboni, meaning, yes, teacher, my teacher. She immediately recognized. That's when the magic moment came. Okay, let's do the third point, then we close. My time is up. Unfortunately, I can't go further than that. Let go of the past and embrace the mission of Jesus with joy. Let go of the past. So Mary turns when she realizes it's Jesus Christ, and then she goes to hold his feet. What does Jesus say? Verse 17, I think. Jesus says, can you find me King James? Do you have King James Version? Okay. What does Jesus say? Do not hold me. Do not hold on to me. But King James says, touch me not. Another version says, look for it. Another one says, do not cling to me. Do not cling to me. Has he found it?
Yeah.
Wow. Whoa. Whoa. Oh, my goodness. You are listening to preaching. Well done. If there's any man who's awake here, it's you. Amen. My goodness, there's an anointing in that corner there. So in her excitement, she rushes to Jesus and gets hold of his feet. And she's clinging to them and just, do not cling to me. Now, that's like, excuse me? Excuse me? Do not cling to me. Excuse me? I've just discovered who you are. I've been weeping for 72 hours. And what are you saying to me? I told you that there are two worlds that clash in that tomb. There is the world where Jesus comes from, and then there is the world where Mary lives in. And these two worlds are interfacing. And whenever there's interfacing, you need interpretation. And that interpretation comes in the form of revelation. You will not access heaven through explanation. You will not access heaven through being smart cerebrally. You've got to have your eyes opened in the spirit. And so the reason Jesus says, do not cling onto me, you see, Mary was clinging onto Jesus that she was with 72 hours earlier. But this Jesus was what on that place, in that tomb, was a different one. This one was a resurrected Jesus Christ. This one had a different body. This one, notice what he does. He says to her, I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father. I'm ascending to my God and your... It wasn't like that before. Before, Jesus would speak to his Father and they would watch and say, oh my goodness, I wish I could pray like him. And he would keep on going, say, my Father who sent me. My Father says this. My Father. So one time they asked, so where exactly are you going, by the way? In fact, show us the Father. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. They had questions. But this time round, says, my Father, your Father, my God, your God. My friends, the relationship had changed. This is not the Jesus of the past you used to joke about. This is not your past life. This is not your past way of thinking. This Jesus you are seeing today wants to transform your life. You can't continue clinging to the past without clinging to the new. And this new one is a revelation. You will not handle the new without a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. Who is Jesus to you? Jesus is not an ATM. Jesus is not a cartoon character. Jesus is not someone you just say, I want this, I want that. That's not the Jesus that, you see, you don't just cling to that Jesus. So he says, don't cling to me. This Jesus you are seeing is a different one. He's the resurrected Christ. I usually have a keyboard player playing it about this time, but it's okay. It's okay. The anointing is still in that corner. I wish it could move over to this side. Anyway, so there's something there. It says, don't cling to me. Do you know sometimes we cling on to Jesus? Have you ever noticed that sometimes we enjoy the comfort of his presence? We enjoy the blessings of God. We love to be blessed. We love that the blessings don't go anywhere, but stay here. Stay here, Lord. Stay here, Lord. You know, it's like the ark that came to the house of that guy. What's his name? Sorry? That guy. Anyway, the Bible says he was so blessed and he kept his mouth shut. For 3 months, he didn't tell anybody. Until David said, what's going on? What's going on? Let's go get the ark. Let's go get the ark and bring it over to Jerusalem so that the nation may be blessed. Maybe you are keeping the ark to yourself. Maybe you're holding on. Jesus, don't go anywhere. My friends, we have a mission. My friends, we have a mission to tell the world about the good news. And so she goes to the disciples. What does she say? She says, I have seen the risen Lord. I've seen him. It's their testimony of what Jesus has shown her, of what Jesus has spoken to her. She has a testimony, but she does not keep quiet. Let me tell you something. In those days, remember I said, women's testimony did not mean anything to men. But here is a woman who's brave enough to bring a testimony to the apostles themselves because she was sent by God as a messenger to the apostles to tell them that I am risen, I am alive, I am Jesus, the Son of God. And so she takes the message. If they wanted to doubt her, it's their problem. If they wanted to debate about it, it's their problem. If they wanted to question it, it's their problem. What was her mission? To do what God had sent her to do. What is it that God has sent you to do? Maybe God has been speaking to you about sharing that message to your uncle. Maybe God has been on your case about sharing the word of God with your family, and you keep dodging, you keep diving, you keep saying all sorts of things. Listen, you have a message. Jesus is alive. You have a message. You need a testimony. What is it that Jesus has shown you? What is it that Jesus has done in your life? See, Mary knew that 7 demons were cast out of my life. You could not debate with Mary about that. She knew who Jesus was. Do you know who Jesus is this morning? Do you know what he can do for your life? There is something God can do for you today. He can save your life. You see, this Jesus was different to Mary. She came looking for an explanation, but she left that place with a revelation. She came weeping, she left full of joy. She came in sorrow, she left that place with gladness. And as you experience the resurrection power of God, I've got a question to ask you. Why are you crying? The Bible says, yes, weeping may endure for a night, meaning I understand your weeping, but I don't understand your weeping when if it's still there in the morning when Jesus shows up in your life. Heaven cannot understand why you're still stuck in that world of the past when the new has come. Heaven cannot understand why you're still stuck with dead things in your life when that which gives life has come. Jesus has come. And Jesus has power to resurrect that which is dead in your life. How is it then that you are still stuck in the past? How is it then that you are still stuck with the dead when Jesus has come? Because Jesus says, I am the life. I am the resurrection. If you believe in me, you shall have life. My friends, this is Easter. Easter is the gospel. And the gospel is good news. The good news is the resurrection news that Jesus is alive. Shall we pray? Father, I thank you. I thank you for the resurrection power that is at work even this morning in this service. Lord, that you may deal with situations this morning, situations of depression, situations of anxiety, those that worry today, this morning, as they listen to my voice, as they carry things in their hearts. Holy Ghost, that you may lift those burdens today. Lift those burdens. Break yokes in the name of Jesus. For your word says you are the lifter of our heads. That, Lord, we may lift our heads this morning because Jesus is alive. That we may lift our heads this morning and let go of the past. In the name of Jesus, let it be so. Father, that you may heal this morning. Those that are not feeling well, those that are infirm in body in any way, let the healing power of God flow today. For it is by your stripes that we are healed. In Jesus' name, I pray. And God's people say, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you. We meet again next week as we reflect from the tomb. We are going back to the tomb to look at another character. We meet you again next week. May the Lord bless you. Amen. Glory. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.